that we didn't necessarily utilize a lot in the past, but I'm using a lot more here in the future, especially with the series that's coming up for this year, and we have a few series coming up, so I would encourage you to at least look at it. There's different types of content for different people, from younger kids to adults, so hopefully there's at least something in there that you could take a look at, and, you know, who knows, maybe it'll enhance your life a little bit. So today starts, the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Do you remember that? Do you remember we were talking about that last weekend? About how we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting and what we were going to be doing and so on and so forth. And we were going to be praying for three specific topic areas, right? Well, this first week we're going to be praying about our churches. Our church here in New Life, our churches all over the country, our partnering churches in Brandon Valley, Quest Church even, that partners with Brandon Valley, and praying for certain things, topic areas. And these are topic areas that I'll be putting upon our websites and our social media platforms to just give you guys a general idea of things that may, you know, like our church growth, like the way, you know, our church is growing, our outreach programs, things like that, that we want to influence into the future. We want God to enter into that. And just for clarity and going on, and for power to do that. Because when we pray and when we fast, we give time and work out the things that, you know, come between us and the Lord, that we can have the Spirit come upon us. And we are empowered by that. So for this week, the 7th, starting 7th today, is that we're going to be praying for our church. So watch our social media websites, watch our church website, and I'll be putting the topics and things on there for you to start with. It's not all encompassing. Of course, if you want to pray about something else that the Lord puts in your heart, then I would tell you to do so. But please come join me. It's going to be interesting. My wife and I have laid out 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it's going to be interesting. But it's going to be fun. And it's going to be rewarding. That's the big thing. Amen? Amen. All right. 2024. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Who's excited about 2024? Oh, I got a few hands. You know what? I'm excited about 2024. I'm excited to see what God does in 2024. I'm excited to see what God does here in 2024. Right? We know it's like I gave a sermon a couple years ago about bamboo grows. Do you remember that? You know? And we're seeing that happen, right? We're seeing that come to fruition through that. And I don't know what cycle we're quite in yet. I don't know what cycle we're in yet, but you know what I do know? Is I know we're growing. I know we're growing. We're growing. Underneath there, we're getting that foundation going, and it's going to be so interesting. It's going to be great. And then on the thing about a new year, a new life, a new something, is that it brings to mind me that we, even as adults, we never stop learning. We never stop learning, or you should never stop learning. If you think you've stopped learning, you need to re-examine your life and figure out, okay, what do I need to do? Because I'm not growing. Christ tells us that we need to learn, we need to grow all the time, right? And we do those things. And I'm happened to be reading a book during these times. And when I'm reading this book, I'm thinking to myself, this would go great to a new series. So I thought, well, why not? We'll put this together for a new series. And the book is called The Richest Man Who Ever Lived. I don't know if anybody knows the book, if you've read the book, so on and so forth. But it's not necessarily your typical church Bible learning type book. It's something that deals with everyday life. But when I read through it, there are definite principles in there that teach people about life that come directly from the Bible. And this guy has no qualm of telling people that. In fact, it comes from basically the book of Proverbs. Now, anybody? You guys know the book of Proverbs, right? Hopefully you've read the book of Proverbs maybe once or twice. But it's important that we learn. We learn as adults, right? And we need to gain knowledge and have that in our life. You know, I once had somebody define knowledge and wisdom to me that I heard it. So I don't remember what it was. Otherwise, I'd give them the credit for it. He said that knowledge is the learning you accumulate through a time of instruction. For those of our young people that are going to a university or college or wherever there might be right now, they're gaining knowledge. Knowledge through a time of accumulating this information, of being fed this information, so that they will have this information for going forward in the future. Okay? So that's accumulating through a time of instruction. But this person also said that wisdom is the application of knowledge in your life. Wisdom is the application of knowledge in your life. Now, this wisdom comes through two main areas, right? And you've heard me talk about it before. Wisdom gained through the Bible, knowledge, and wisdom is gained through life experience. But it all comes down to applying knowledge or this information to your life. That's what wisdom is. It's applying it into your life and making it part of who you are. And wisdom is very essential in this area we're going to be starting our series about, and that's discipleship. Wisdom is very, very important in discipleship. And discipleship is something that's very, very important to Christ. If you were to look in the Bible, you would not see necessarily a direct definition of what discipleship is. But if you read through in between the lines and they talk about discipleship, the definition of discipleship in the Bible, it says that it's learning from a master teacher. Discipleship is learning from a master teacher. And we know the greatest of those teachers that defined that discipleship. That Jesus defined discipleship by what he provided an example of who he was and how he conducted his life. He did it in such a holistic and a relational approach to his disciples, to others around him that came. He did it in such a way that they felt the warmth of his embrace, but they also felt the sting of honesty and truthfulness, but in such a way that they would know that it came from love. In a holistic approach. Discipleship is the way that we imitate a teacher's life, that we adhere to their values, and then we go out and we try to reproduce their teachings. Think about your discipleship and what you've been doing in your life and how you became a disciple. It's like the person that discipled you, did you not try to imitate your teacher? We talked about that once, about how a lot of times we try to imitate our idols. We try to imitate our heroes in life. And that we go out and we do those things and we try to reproduce their values, not in our own lives. Yes. Okay? We do those things. But we especially try to adhere to those values. And then later on, we're called to go out and reproduce it ourselves. To have those go out and just spread all over the world. You know? And one of the greatest books used for teaching discipleship is actually Proverbs. Perhaps you guys didn't know that. That Proverbs, you can go in the book of Proverbs and it will teach you how to disciple. Disciple in so many different ways because it's one of the greatest books on wisdom that there ever is. The book of Proverbs is actually fairly easy to read. It's got 31 chapters in it. We have some months that have 31 days in it. I was talking to people in the church and stuff, and they read the book of Proverbs and they do a chapter a day. Right? Take 5-10 minutes out of the day, you read the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day, and they start that over each and every month. They get a day or something that has 30 months or 30 days in it. Well, they might read 2 in a day. Sometimes they might read 3. little secret says, hey, if I missed a day, then I have to make it up. So I read it again. But they did this. And this gentleman that wrote this book did this for 2 years. And in 2 years, his life changed dramatically because he read the wisest book ever written. He read how to really be a disciple. Now, his thought process in that time was not being a disciple, but that's what happened. That's what he ended up doing. And the book of Proverbs is written by King Solomon, as we hopefully know. If not, it's written by King Solomon. King Solomon is one of the greatest, wisest kings of all of Israel, right? He had a great start to his life. You know, he had merged the kingdom back together. God asked him, how can I bless you? King Solomon came forward and said, I need wisdom to run this country. And God was so pleased with that answer that he says, I'm going to make you the greatest, richest king who has ever ruled Israel. I am so pleased with that. And he did that. Now we also know that King Solomon, he kind of had a rocky ending. You know, he wasn't beyond making mistakes. He had done some dumb things. You know, he had allowed idolatry into the kingdom on a scale that nobody had ever seen beforehand because of how he conducted his personal life. So, just to ground everybody, it's like, you can have great wisdom, but you can still make stupid choices. Right? It's just the nature of life. It's the nature of being human. But Proverbs, in and of itself, is really essential in discipleship and understanding what discipleship really is. And anyone who has spent a multitude of time or just even a little bit of time in Proverbs would probably agree with that statement. If you don't, I would love to talk to you about it and see where you're standing. So, with that in mind, we're going to take the next several weeks and we're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to learn about discipleship. We're going to learn what discipleship really is. We're going to learn what it looks like, and we're going to learn how it's accomplished. What discipleship really is. If I asked you what discipleship really is, you probably have a picture in your mind. Hopefully you do have a picture in your mind of what's going on. Discipleship is so important that it's used 294 times in the New Testament alone. That Jesus introduced something. He introduced a way of living a life. In fact, it's so important. We're told that we need to be discipling others. We need discipleship in our life. In fact, it's so important. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew in your Bibles. And in the book of Matthew, it's going to talk about how important it is that we are given instructions to do and how to be. And what Jesus said about discipleship. Chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. Jesus sat with his disciples, sat with his people. And he came up to them and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We know we're supposed to go. Jesus says we're supposed to go out. We're supposed to make disciples of all nations. We're supposed to baptize them. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we get scared. We talked about fear earlier. Sometimes we don't think we know how to do those things. So we don't necessarily put forth a lot of effort in discipleship. Well, we're supposed to do those things where Jesus says, I want you to make disciples. I want you to go out into all the world and I want you to tell them about me and disciple them. That doesn't mean that you just tell them about me, that they give their lives to me and you leave them alone. No, that means that we're supposed to help them along. And this is the common image that we're given about how what discipleship is. But that's not all that discipleship is. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to go in the world. We're supposed to preach the good word to the world, right? We're supposed to preach the gospel to all nations. Jesus told us that in the book of Matthew also, that we're supposed to preach it. We're supposed to tell it. We're supposed to give it to others. We're supposed to give it to all creation, not just parts here and there, not just your circle of your comfort level and anything else. No, we're supposed to go out and give it to everybody and be part of it. But most of us don't know that there's actually two parts to discipleship. There's two parts. Two parts in its core. The first part of discipleship that we don't really think about sometimes, it's just a kind of a natural thought, but we don't put intentionality in it, is the exact intentional walking with Jesus in our life. That's the first part of discipleship, is your intentional walking with Jesus. The importance of that sometimes is escaping us in our mind, of how we need to walk with Jesus first before we can walk with anybody else. We forget how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to be. We have momentary lapses of who we are, forgetting that we're a new creation and the old creation is dead. But sometimes we put on the old skin. It's like taking a moth-ridden suit out of the closet. The corduroy suit, you remember those? Well, maybe some of you don't remember those. Look it up sometimes. You'll look at that and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they even made those at one time. But you'll get this big old nasty brown looking corduroy suit and you'll put that thing on and it's full of holes and everything else. And you look in the mirror and it's like, well, I don't remember looking like that. But that was your old self. The moth-ridden with the holes, the dirt, the wear marks, the things like that. Before you gave your life to Jesus, well, that's what we looked at. That's what we looked like. Once you gave your life to Jesus, he said, you get a new suit. You're going to look bright and shiny. In fact, it's going to be so bright and shiny, it's going to be like white. It's going to be like bleach white, not a mark on it, not a scuff, nothing. And you know the fantastic thing about this particular suit is that you get a new one to put on every morning. Right? Right? I mean, I go into my closet and I look at the stuff I have in my closet and I've got stuff in there from years. I've got one particular sweater that I like to wear. It's from my old academy days, you know. I love the sweater, you know. I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. But then I look at the other things in there. It's like, I got a ton of stuff in there I never wear at all. It's like, why is it even there? But we keep it around anyway. We keep it in our lives. We box it up and says, well, you know what? It's familiar. I might want to wear it again. It's like, I haven't seen that thing in 2 years. And I want to keep it around. But that's the way we look at our lives sometimes. We keep those things around that are familiar, that aren't necessarily something that we're going to use again, but we keep them there anyway. But Jesus, he comes and says, now you don't need that old clothes. You just need my clothes. Throw the rest out. Throw the rest out. But we don't do that. And we forget that we need to disciple ourselves first. Peter, when he wrote his first letter in chapter 2, he said that we were called because Christ suffered for us, right? We were called because Christ suffered for us. And he left us an example of how we're supposed to be in our life. That we should follow his steps, match his walk and his pace and his path. And we should do those things. We were called to it. We were called. That doesn't mean that you were drugged there. Doesn't mean that somebody had roped and lassoed you and drug you into it, that you're doing it, you know, out of your own volunteer volition. No. It means that he whispered out. He said, hey, come over here. And we heard him. And we voluntarily walked that way. And we did that because we knew it was something that we needed. He said, I want you to follow in my steps. I want you to be like me. I want you to be part of it. But he also said, when I ask you to be like me, I want you to understand that you're going to have experiences that you won't like either. Because I'm going to have experiences that I'm not going to like. Jesus telling us that he's going to have experiences he's not going to like. This is like, you're God. You're God. How can you have experiences that you're not going to like, knowing that you're going to do it? Well, that's because Jesus is also man. And he feels pain. And he felt emotional pain. He felt physical pain. Jesus felt spiritual pain. But he still, he said to them, I want you to follow. I want you to be like me. I want you to imitate me. And when you imitate me, how are you in your life? And I want you to imitate me in teaching others how to do it. How to walk with me. How to be with me. How to give their lives to something that is so grand, it's beyond belief, being part of that. But he also said, he said that we wouldn't have to be doing it alone. He said, I'm going to give you something to help you out. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the messenger to help you out and lead you through things. And he told us the simple fact, he says, just like we were singing this last song, he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, right? So you are the child of God and you're being led by the Spirit. You're not out there all alone and doing something all by yourself. You're being led by the Spirit that Jesus promised you, that gives you the wisdom that you need to do it. And this is what we need to understand, that we're not alone, because a lot of times we don't discipleship others because we think that we're alone. And we think those things like, Lord, I'm alone in this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to make things worse than what they are already. And that keeps us from discipling others. Sometimes it keeps us from even discipling ourselves and being a part of God's kingdom. So that's the first part of discipleship, is discipling yourself. We're going to learn more about how to disciple ourselves in a better way to prepare us for the second part, which is the intentional building of relationships and discipling others. There's that word again, intentional. See, because it has to be intentional. We have to knowingly invest our time, invest our efforts, our strength, our heart, our mind. We have to invest ourselves in another person or even persons. Plural. Just because you get one done does not mean you're finished. It means if you have one, congratulations, you have done a fantastic job. Go forward and repeat the process. I had somebody tell me one time, very, very, very wise pastor. He says, you know what? And this was when I was getting credentialed. He says, I want you to understand, pastors never get to retire. Pastors never retire. Yes, they might stop standing up in front of people and delivering the Sunday message or doing whatever, but you never retire. I got news for the rest of you folks. You don't get to retire. You're in the same boat I am. You're all pastors. Welcome to the life. But you know what? There's no better job in the all universe. There's no better job in all the universe. The universe is wide and fantastic and, you know, built beyond our imagination. But there's no better job in all of it than to do the Lord's work. And when we do that, when we go out and we knowingly pour forth all of our heart and our effort, and we connect with people, and we're walking through a redemptive story with them, that is something that you accomplish beyond belief. That is when the angels in heaven cry out and sing when that happens. And we know that a redemption story just doesn't stop at salvation. It continues on. It continues on and becomes part of the process of their life so they can go out and they can, well, so they can repeat the same process that you're doing. They can go out and they can disciple themselves and then they can disciple others. And that process continues and continues and continues. And can you imagine what the world would be like if that kept on going and it just doubled every year? Think about that. Think about whether it doubled every year. How tremendous that would be. It's a great thing to do. And we know it's a great thing to do because we're actually given a warning in the Bible about not being a disciple. Do you remember where that's at in the Bible? Where you're told that, hey, I'm giving you this warning. Jesus said to us, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, what do you need to do? He says in the book of Matthew also. So why don't you, well, you're still in the book of Matthew. Turn to chapter 16 quick. Chapter 16. And if you're there in chapter 16 already, run your finger over to verse 24. Verse 24. Where he gives the warning. He said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You must deny yourself, take up my cross, and follow me. And he says you had to do this because he continues on and he goes on and he says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Do you understand the magnitude of that and what that truly means? A lot of people on the surface look at that and go, yeah, I truly understand what that means. But it says, do you really know what that means? That means giving up all of your life to Jesus and carrying his plan, his cross, to the multitude of people. That means those things that you selfishly climb onto and cling to, all that corduroy suit that you cling onto, you got to chuck it. You got to get rid of it. You got to take up what I am asking you to take up and take this forward. And yes, it might not be, you know, every day is a ecstatic day of joy, happiness, of just feeling like you're elated all the time. Sometimes it's going to be a drudging day. Sometimes it's going to feel like a heavy load on your shoulders because, well, Jesus went through it too. But he says, for those that you want to save your life, you need to do this. You need to go out. You need to be part of me so that one day you will see something that we need to give up our selfish desires, right? To deny those things. And we know we're not naive in the fact knowing that there will be some people that don't do that. But he also gives us a cautionary tale about that. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. There's a lot of people out here in the world that speak in the Lord's manner, speak that they're serving for the Lord and so on and so forth, but they're really serving their selfish desires. And those people will come to a time that when Jesus comes back and takes them, well, takes them nowhere. But when he comes back to take us home, there will be people out there screaming his name, Lord, I did these things in your name. And he will look at them and go, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You may have done it by screaming out and telling people you were doing it, but you weren't doing it in your heart the way you should have been doing it. He says, you're just like the Pharisees who stand out on the corner and they give away every tenth of what they give and they tell everybody what they're giving. He says, they've already received a reward. You've already received your reward if you're out there just for everybody to see you. He says, those that truly with my heart are those that did those things in the background. They will receive their reward in heaven. Those are people that I truly, my heart breaks for. There's truly people in this world, my heart truly breaks for them because the fact is that they will never, ever, ever see their Father in heaven. And to know that all I can do is to disciple them. I can't make them choose, but I can disciple them in such a way that I can present Jesus to them. So, in discipling others, in discipling ourselves, we need to take up the nature of wisdom. We need to take up the nature of applying the knowledge that Jesus has given to us, the leading of the Spirit and the wisdom that comes with that, and applying that to our lives. Proverbs, the greatest book of wisdom, Proverbs says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and what? Understanding." Knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and wisdom. So in these next few weeks, we're going to continue our journey in discipleship and learning what it means to be a disciple. Not only how to teach others, but how to teach ourselves. So that when we present ourselves to others for discipleship and trying to mentor them, trying to lead them, that we are the best disciple or mentor that we can be. It's not an easy journey. There's going to be some tough things you're going to hear. I know I've been reading the book and going through it and go, Larry, you need to pay attention to this. This is tough. But I figure, if the Lord wants to speak it to me and he says, I need you to speak this to others, then the Holy Spirit will prepare your hearts, will prepare your ears, and you will hear the part that he wants you to hear. And you will fixate on what that means to you and not on any underlying pretense you may have. It's important. I want you to be so ready to meet Jesus when he comes, and he could come tomorrow. And I want you to be ready. I want you to have such a place in your self-discipleship that there is no doubt that you have a heart for Jesus. No doubt. And when you cry out his name, he's going to look at you and go, come on, it's time. That would be the best thing you could ever feel, knowing that the race that you have been running for so long is over, and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. That's so important. And it's so important that we have people in our lives that we know we want them to be in the same place, and we want to help them. We want to provide an opportunity for them to go, Lord, I need you in my life and I give you my heart. And that day comes that they will call out their name and that we will know, we will see them next to us in heaven. We know people like that in our lives. All of us do. We need to dedicate ourselves to Jesus in such a way as there's never any doubt to anybody's mind that we belong to him. And we truly need to appreciate Proverbs for the wisdom that it gives during this. So I welcome you to come along this journey with me. Because I'm putting these messages together for this series. My eyes have been opened. Been opened to, ways that I can do better. And perhaps some other out there go, hey, I'm pretty good in this area. But there might be a message along the way that you can say, I understand that. And that's my desire. It's my desire for each and every person I come into contact with, is that they would know Jesus. They would lead a life for Jesus. They would lead that life. And then when the time comes, they get called home. And I get to go up and I get to give them a big hug and say, I'm glad you're here with me. So let's take the journey together. A new journey in 2024. It's a brand new year. Brand new life. So let's worship the Lord. Let's dedicate our lives to Him. And you know what? I can't wait to see what God does. Amen. I can't wait to see what He does in 2024. And I can't wait to see what He does here at New Life. And with each and every person. Each and every one of you. So let's stand up and let's worship the Lord. Knowing that He is awesome and He is mighty.